Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, Jim Stackpool here. Talking about how we screen clients today. Overall, no question, every single client deserves equal respect, but they don't all deserve equal service. But how do we do that? A number of different factors, depending upon the stages of business that you're at, niches you're working with, alliances you're working with, the type of workflow you've got. Lots of different things to consider, and how you do it, when do you do it. Anyway, check it out. Really, this question today is this: as we're moving unavoidably into this more and more quality of engagement as compared to quantity of engagement, how do we screen? And what is the process to do it respectfully, consistently, methodically? Every single client deserves equal respect, but not every single client deserves equal service. They're paying for it differently, and we've all got different factors. And I want to cover some of those factors. I want to get us talking, getting your views on some of this stuff, because it is quite an important productivity tool. And I'll talk about alternatives. What do we do if we can't look after clients? Do we give recommendations on where they can go? I just want to quickly go through some of the factors that involve with screening that we've consistently seen involved. So some of the factors about screening or issues that affect it. Now, the very first factor we think with screening is what growth phase are you in? You know, if you're still in the first 12 months of your business, why screen? You know, I think it's a bit academic, unless it's totally not right for you for whatever. But I think if you're still in that first 12 months of your business, why screen? Because it might have all good plans and intent, but until you've proven yourself, you like doing it, the clients like it, they're going to come back, then maybe it's a bit academic. So, but at the other stages of your growth, we have to screen quite hard because the issue is capacity. And I think essentially this is the issue today. It's about managing capacity by effectively, productively screening. Another thing is that the number of inquiry, and to a certain extent, when I hear and talk to people who've got strong radio or TV presence, or even a very, very strong social media presence, they've got a very, very high inquiry rate and therefore a very high screening rate. And their issue is not so much lack of opportunity, it's just lack of time and focus. So it depends upon your inquiry rate. If your inquiry rate's really coming from something that's less in numbers, like a good referral system, then you've got a less of an issue, but it depends upon your inquiry rate as well. It also obviously depends upon capacity. We've got a couple of firms at the moment in our group that, for whatever key reason, a couple of people are away on maternity leave and paternal leave. And so they've got a lesser capacity that's going to screen harder when they've got less capacity. If we get to these capacity levels, we have to screen harder. So it is this, we can have all the right mix, but if we have an issue with capacity, then we have to screen harder, basically, to control that. And actually that then has a question about lifting our pricing as well. Sometimes niches, particularly SME niches. And so to shift we're having a number of our firms shifting into an SME niche at the moment. That's an area of high complexity, usually higher fees, lower number of clients. But to do that shift, if we're moving into a niche, we have to therefore change our screening of clients outside that niche. And so clients that may have been an ideal client in the past, as we shift and inevitably shift and build more expertise in our firm, we may also find we have to just focus more on other areas. Another key area is alliances. We might have a relationship with centers of influences or networks or alliances that it's an unwritten rule usually that you'll take every client we give you because we'll give you good ones and we'll give you other ones, but we expect you be taking all clients. And that changes how you can screen. If you have to take the good clients as well as every client that particular alliance might be giving to you. It's sort of like just the way it's evolved. And back in the quantity days when business was built upon getting a quantity of clients, that was okay. But as we get into a quality days, and that is our future, no question, this is getting harder and harder to do. And I think the last area I would with screening is what I call pro bono and legacy stuff, where we're never going to screen these clients out. We well, you never thought we'd be screening these clients out because no one else is in a regional location where we are, and we have to include these clients, and that in itself. So apart from those key areas, are there any others that may be included for that? Dave Pamphlet, have you got any views on any of that?
Yeah, Jim, I think the more you get into the ideal clients, the more you actually have to be tough on yourself. Screening out clients is actually more difficult because people, planners, like to be considered to be indispensable, trusted advisor. They've normally come, in our case, they've normally come from a referral from someone else. Part, their alliances, I think you could expand that to be just referral partners. I do all my screening at the first interview or after the first interview, because so often I've come across someone, if they've been referred to me, and again, that's where most of my new business comes from, you just don't know until you sit in front of them, because they may not have shared everything with the person that was referring them to you.
Yeah, and I think, Dave, you push on a really important point there. Sometimes with, unless you go, you never know unless you ever go. You've got to go there and face them and then understand what is the opportunity. But even that has an opportunity, a cost attached to them. Do you screen better to try and determine even to have that conversation? That's a good point. So I just want to touch on quickly why screening is so important, and as compared to some of the factors. And for us, why it's so important is productivity. And so screening is just one measure of increasing productivity. And I like bottom line productivity rather than top line productivity. Top line productivity has been pushed as saying, well, unless I make, and this is what I call the return per client. And so if, for want of a better term, unless we're going to get $6,000 return per client in the first year, do we continue with that sort of a client? That to me is top line productivity. And yes, it's a good measure, but I think in these days, we've got to use what I call bottom line productivity, which gives us a much more accurate, much more, I think, business productivity measure than simply top line. And bottom line productivity for me is our screening process helps in what I would say is the revenue generated per full-time equivalent person. And so you can have this instance where you're raising your revenue per person, but if you're actually lowering at the same time your revenue per full-time equivalent employee, you're actually losing productivity. And so for us, the key measure we've used quite consistently is this figure of, for every person employed, the standard for us is still about this $275,000 per person employed. And so screening, ideally on bottom line, is indicative that my return per full-time equivalent person is going up. So therefore, let's get into the process. Let's look at what I would call, if we're measuring and comparing high quality or high returns and lower returns per client and high number of inquiry and low number of inquiries. And so whether it comes from alliances, whether it comes from referrals, whether it comes from social media, where we've got a high number and a low return. This is the radio work. This is the TV work. This is sometimes the social media work. Do people agree with that? Does anyone at all? Actually, Joel.
Not the radio, TV, but the social media stuff, the Facebook community boards and whatnot, get a fair bit of referral from there.
Because I think some of the ones you've been getting, it's probably been higher, some bit of a higher return.
I've had probably pretty good quality come from the social media area because they're actually looking for it. They're seeking it out rather than just hearing an ad.
And so let's just run us through that. So how do you screen out those in that area? What do you do?
So yeah, if they touch base to book in a time, they'll do it's what's called a pre-discovery.
So you're using Conversation Zero, are you?
Yeah, Conversation Zero via virtual. So 20 minutes, 30 minutes straight into just, you know, getting high level what their situation is, what they're after, why they're seeking advice.
And do you mention a fee?
No, not usually unless it's one of their questions they ask at the tail end. So then we'll usually just sort of quote, you know, our minimum's X, or it could be anything above that. If they push for it, I don't mind saying it. If they
okay, but you're finding they're not pushing for it. And generally when those clients, you're going through the screen and they come on board, what sort of size of fee are they generally engaging for?
Yeah, so if they have the pre-discovery, it works out there might be value for them and a good fit and what they're after, and it's not transactional, then they'll book in a time to do a face-to-face discovery. And then, yeah, the fee, depending on what we're doing with them.
Sometimes the more difficult one is the alliance work. This is where we're getting referrals. It's sometimes we get work with low returns and sometimes we get work with high returns. It generally averages out in the middle. How are those that are managing alliances managing that relationship? Because they in some ways might have that approach. You've got to take all the work that we give you, or you actually have done some screening. Paul Burt, how have you positioned when you do referrals, the sort of client you're seeking?
I think it's just being upfront with them. So the specialist, principal, supplier and manager in talking to referral partners about how we categorise financial planning clients. And especially when you're talking to accountants, they really get that. And they understand that, you know, that makes sense, and they understand the specialist part because that's where they see themselves fitting in.
And so, Paul, what happens to when if you get a referral either in the specialist market or you get a referral from social media, wherever I come from, and they don't fit?
So in most cases, to be honest, it's good luck or it's look at it. Just giving them some suggestions on where I think they should be focusing.
Thank you, Paul. Has anyone else got any other suggestion on that? I think if I come back to Todd and David, potentially with your background in the banks. Yeah. Todd?
I think we're living in a new world at the moment, Jim. Go back 3 to 5 years ago, everyone fit. You'd find a spot for them somewhere, somehow, because they were clients of the bank, for argument's sake. And now, to Peter's point before, we just haven't got the luxury. It costs a minimum of $3,000 just to produce an SOA. So that's before we factor into making profits and so on. So it's not in a client's best interest, if your hand is on your heart, to do anything apart from what Paul said. Sometimes, you know, just a little bit of careful not to make it advice, direction as to where to go. And maybe there's another fit for them to go to. On the Gold Coast, we've got lots of other people we can refer to. But sometimes the best advice is to, you know, go and pay your debt off or save a bit of money, and here's a bit of budgeting. So it's easy to invite people to go elsewhere as long as you're polite and professional about it. And people, I think, respect that now. But we can't afford to take on everyone.
There you have it. What did you think of that? How we screen clients. We've certainly got some measures and some numbers based upon what level of minimum we have for a specialist work or for a principal client coming in. But I think fundamentally it's still this respect for all but not equal service for all. Depending upon the quantity we're getting, we need to be screening harder at the first call. People talked about conversation zero in the certainty advice approach, to have that methodical approach to talk through and try and understand for a client. Are we actually in their best interest for us to spend time with them, and potentially have a list of alternatives for them to see or seek, if in fact we can, if we aren't the right firm for them. The key to this is, with, I think, Mark Wenzel's question was lifting the firm productivity rather than someone that might not be right for us, passing them to someone else in the firm. I think those days are going pretty quick to as we try and lift the productivity for a firm. Anyway, I hope from this today you've got some key thinking, tools. If you need any access to some of those tools we might have discussed today, please don't hesitate to reach out. But learning how to methodically screen is key and core to us lifting the productivity of our firms as we deliver the most valuable advice we can to the clients that within our own client-specific niche. Take care. Jim Stackpole signing out.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. CertaintyAdviceGroup.com.